And it's worth noting that as Japan restarts that nuclear reactor, we've also been marking the 70th anniversary of the atomic bombs the U.S. dropped on Japan 70 years ago. There's been a conversation amid the commemorations about whether that was really the right thing to do. On Sunday, Pope Francis weighed in and said this should serve as a lasting warning to humanity and a symbol of mankind's destructive power. Joining us from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, is historian Michael Nyberg, chair of war studies at the U.S. Army War College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Professor, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, take us back to that moment. How did President Truman justify dropping those atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki?
I'm not so much sure that he felt he had to justify it. I think he was looking at the other options the United States had in front of it, a continued blockade of Japan, continuing the air war against Japan, a ground invasion of Japan, all of which were likely to kill tens of thousands of people. He certainly saw the gravity. He saw the severity of what the United States was about to do. He was also looking at a military situation where Japan had a million men still in mainland China, and the United States had no interest and no intention of invading mainland China to get those million out. So the military center of gravity was in Tokyo, that is, getting Japan to order those men to surrender rather than having to go and fight. I think Truman and his advisors knew how serious a decision this was, but I think they saw it as maybe not the best option, but the least bad of the options in front of them.
The idea being that if you drop one or both of these bombs, that Japan would surrender immediately.
Correct. If the Japanese government orders those troops in China and elsewhere to surrender, that ends the war. Otherwise, an invasion of the home islands, a continued blockade, an air war, none of those things necessarily get you to where you want to go.
Do you think the second bomb had to be dropped?
Well, I think it's an easier call to make from 70 years on than it is to make in 1945. And I think it's important to remember both just how awful this Second World War was in terms of the lowering of the moral standards, both in Asia and in Europe. And I think it's also important to remember just how new the team was that Truman had around him. He was brand new to the job. His Secretary of State, James Burns, was brand new. They were dealing with an awful lot in 1945. Making a moral judgment from 70 years on, I think, is easier to do than looking at it from the perspective of the time.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, the idea of moral judgment here, because is there ever really morality in war when you're talking about killing people, both soldiers and also innocent civilians?
Well, there's no doubt Pope Francis is right. It should serve as a warning to all of mankind of what can happen, especially in a world where nuclear weapons are held by more than one state. But, you know, morality also is relative. Paul Fussell, the great commentator on World War I and World War II, named his memoirs Thank God for the Atomic Bomb, and he did that because he was one of those American soldiers who would have been involved in the invasion of Japan had that been ordered instead of the atomic bomb. So to his mind, there was no moral decision to be made whatsoever.
So what do you make of the conversation that's going on right now and the fact that there are many people who are looking back on this event and saying that was the wrong move, the U.S. shouldn't have done that?
Well, it's easy. Again, I think it's so easy to do from a 70-year perspective because we know where this is going to lead and we know how horrible and how destructive and how awful those weapons were. It really is a much harder decision when you're looking at the perspective of 1945, trying to get the Second World War over with. Americans tend to forget just how war-weary the United States was in 1945, how little contribution Great Britain was probably going to make in East Asia, how war-weary the Soviet Union was. Those are military factors, not moral ones. But again, when you're looking at a war that may have killed 25 million civilians in the course of it in both Asia and Japan, morality is something that has certainly changed in the minds of the people of the time.
And why did it matter so much to the United States what Japan was doing in China?
Well, first, the United States had a vested interest in the outcome of that war in China. The United States had been deeply involved in supporting, for a time, both Mao Zedong's communist insurgency and Chiang Kai-shek's nationalist government. And there certainly was a sense in the United States that if you don't have a stable China at the end of the war, it's going to be very difficult to get stability throughout all of Asia. It's why Franklin Roosevelt wanted China to have one of the permanent seats in the United Nations in the post-war period. It's why the United States spent so much time and effort at the end of World War II and in the early Cold War years, trying to produce stability there. So a World War II that ends with an unstable China is not going to be a stable Asia.
Had there been diplomatic efforts underway to get Japan to surrender without dropping the bombs?
There had been. The United States was aware that Japan was trying to work through the Soviet Union in order to negotiate some sort of an end. The two problems the U.S. faced is that they weren't particularly interested in a negotiation that would leave Japan in a strong position. And George Elsie, who was an advisor to both Franklin Roosevelt and Harry Truman, had access to what we now call the magic intelligence decrypts. And he knew that what the Japanese were telling the Soviet Union, the Soviets were sharing that information with the United States, but not always being forthright. So a diplomatic solution in that situation was extremely difficult. The United States also knew that the Soviet Union didn't want a diplomatic solution either. It wanted to invade Manchuria and move into mainland China. So going to a diplomatic solution in that case was possible, but extremely difficult.
That's Michael Nyberg, chair of war studies at the U.S. Army War College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, talking with us 70 years after the U.S. dropped those atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan. Professor Nyberg, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And do you think the U.S. had to drop those bombs to end the war? Let us know at hereandnow.org.